All right, Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, or the Torah, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. This is a repeated theme throughout Hebrews. Let's take a quick look here. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's go way back to the beginning, way back when we started the book of Hebrews. And I've grown so much going through Hebrews. I hope you have too. If not, I hope that you will maybe go back and listen to the recordings, go back and read it. But it's an exciting book. It is one of the most highly developed theological books in the Bible. And it's just got an incredible picture of who the Messiah is. I remember the first day that I started the book of Hebrews, and it was a little uneasy for me because I'm so used to just staying with the Torah portions and preaching from those. And it was a little bit of a step outside of the norm for me to do another book. That Friday night that I first started the book of Hebrews, I got in my car to go home, and there was a pastor on the radio just starting the book of Hebrews that very night. And so I kind of took that as confirmation of, this is the direction the Lord has us in for now. So going back to Hebrews chapters 1 through 4, we're going to see a certain theme here that's going to be developed in our chapter for today, chapter 10. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he inherited a more excellent name than they. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 1 talks on and on about how the Son, how the Messiah, is better than the angels. And how that means that the message we've heard from him is better than any message we've received before. Okay, because the Torah was given through intermediary angels, okay? And we know this not from the Torah itself, but from the New Covenant portions and other Jewish writings. Angels were involved in the giving of Torah. That's great. That helps us understand this is really from God. How much more when one who outshines all the angels, one who really is God himself in human form, comes and gives us a message. We've got to take this seriously. So he outshines the angels. We see here in verse 1 that he spoke to us through prophets in many ways. Now he's spoken to us through his Son. The Son is greater. The message we've heard from the Son is greater than the message we've heard from anyone else, including the scriptures that preceded him. So let's now go to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Yeshua, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Messiah was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confidence in the boast of our hope firm till the end. Messiah is greater than Moses. Okay? Messiah is greater than the prophets. Messiah is greater than the angels. Messiah is greater than Moses. Moses was faithful in the house of God as a servant. Messiah is the builder of all things. He's even greater than Moses. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Verses 22 through 25. So much more also Yeshua has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Yeshua, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Okay? He is the guarantee of a better covenant. He's better than the angels. The word he's spoken is better than the word spoken through prophets, through angels, through Moses. He's the guarantee of a better covenant because he's a better priest and he's able to save us because he exists eternally. Okay? He is the powerful priest. Let's go now to chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. We went through that chapter not too long ago. But it quotes Jeremiah chapter 31 that says a better covenant's coming. Okay, so the theme here over and over again is better, better, better. We have it better with Messiah. We have it better with Yeshua. Let's go to chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and bulls, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Not just a bunch of words there, right? This is saying better sacrifice. A better sanctuary, a better sacrifice. And so we have here in chapter 10, for the Torah, that which came before Messiah, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make perfect those who draw near. How do we make this message powerful, impactful, applicable, more than just words to our children and to our generation? Okay? All right, so let's see. Who do we have here? We've got Will and Caleb and Angela, kind of the younger generation here, and your generation, you have video games far superior to anything I ever had growing up, right? So I had Super Mario Brothers, I think, when I was in middle school or whatever, on the old Nintendos or whatever. But you don't see any video games where the goal of the game is, boy, we need a better high priest than the one we have, right? We need that blood atonement, and so let's find the perfect blood atonement. It just doesn't excite the generation around us, does it? And it's not just the kids, it's our adults around us as well. So what? You know, so what? Nobody cares about a better priesthood, do they? Nobody cares about a better sacrifice. Okay, we even catch ourselves sometimes just sitting there reading it, yeah. And then we did my Bible time, can't wait to put on that exciting movie. But if we get in touch with what is the human condition, this will be super exciting for us, okay? And I don't have all the answers. I'm not always great at getting the younger generation excited. That's why we have people like Dita here who can relate to them better than I can. But we've got to get ourselves and our children and our generation excited about the message of Hebrews, that something better's come. And the reason this is important is because of where we are in the human condition. The human condition is not good. And everything that gets us excited nowadays, the rock and roll music, okay, which I a lot of times enjoy myself, the movies, which I a lot of times enjoy myself. I'm not saying these are bad things. But the things that really get us excited, the entertainment stuff, can cast a shadow over our minds and make us think that that's really what's exciting, when in reality, that's just a diversion from what's really exciting, because what's really exciting is the fact that even though you and I deserve hell, because of the better sacrifice, because of the better sanctuary, because of the better covenant, because of the perfect, better high priest, we have eternal life with God. And that is not exciting unless you first come in touch and contact with the fact that we need it. We need the better sacrifice. Okay? Dear Josh, fill in your name there. I'll say it for myself. Dear Josh, you were destined for hell, and God saved you by the perfect, better sacrifice that went into the perfect, better sanctuary and made atonement for you that you can have eternal life with God. And not only that, but now we've been given the Holy Spirit of God and a message that's got to get out to the rest of the world. We have to find a way to make it relevant. The first step is we've got to get people in touch with the fact that they need it. Because it's not only the entertainment field that's dulling our spiritual senses, it's the philosophy of this age. And what does the philosophy of this age say? It says, you're okay, I'm okay. We are fighting a direct battle, okay? We're going to talk about battles. And a lot of the video games and movies and so forth nowadays are about war and the good guys beating the bad guys and this and that. And it's exciting. You want to talk about exciting. We're talking about a war here with eternal consequences. The philosophy of this age is something we are in direct contrast with. Because it says you don't need a high priest because you're okay, and you're okay. You disagree with this person, your religion is in direct contrast with their religion, but you know what, it doesn't matter, everybody's okay. Every road leads to God, and if you did stuff that's bad, don't worry, sin doesn't really exist. You really have an excuse for it. We are in direct contrast, direct conflict. We are in a war against the philosophy of this age, which says, you're okay, I'm okay. And until we get people to see that, they won't see their need for the Messiah. And when do they see that? Well, a lot of times you see it when they're desperate. Hey, it's not working for me. Okay, the world tells me I'm okay. The world tells me there's no such thing as sin, but I sure feel rotten. I sure feel depressed. I sure feel hopeless. That's when we come in and we say you feel hopeless because you're in a hopeless situation. Okay, you're drowning in your own sin. You're separated from God. There's a chasm between you and God. But the better sanctuary, and obviously for somebody who's not familiar with biblical language, you have to find a way to communicate this without using symbols and language they don't understand. But basically the message is this. Because there's a better sanctuary, because there's a perfect high priest, because there's a perfect sacrifice that paid the debt for our sins, that chasm can be crossed. And it wasn't you crossing over to God, it was God crossing over to you. It wasn't you climbing your way up to God, the guru on top of the mountain. It was God coming down from his holy throne and becoming what you needed to live in his presence. For the Torah, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. So in our age, we fight against that philosophy as I described it. In the age of Hebrews, writing to Jewish believers most likely, he's combating this idea that you don't need the Messiah. You can go back, in fact, your life will be easier if you just go back to following Torah without the Messiah. And he's saying, no, something better's come, something better's come, something better's come. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered because the worshippers, having been once cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sin? If those sacrifices under the Torah were so perfect, why do they have to keep being repeated? It does something, right? Hebrews chapter 9 tells us there's some cleanliness that happens because of those Torah sacrifices, but it didn't cleanse the person. We still are conscious of our sin. In fact, it becomes a constant reminder of our sin having these sacrifices. But in those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a reminder of sin year by year. Rather than helping us be done with sin, it reminds us of sin. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, if he means who there? The Messiah. Therefore, when Messiah comes into the world, Yeshua says, quoting Psalm 40 here. Now, the wording here is a little different than if you go back in your Bible and you look up Psalm 40. Because it's largely following the Septuagint, the ancient Greek translation. But the emphasis is going to be the same regardless. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. And whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. The sacrifices and offerings were replaced by what? By Messiah being willing to do the will of God. By Messiah being willing to go into the desert and to be tempted by Satan. And Satan says, I want you to do this for yourself, and that for yourself, and this to get yourself glory. Satan tempts him. You're hungry? Make those rocks bread for yourself. Satan says, you want to rule the world. You want to bring peace to the world. That's a good cause, Yeshua. Just worship me first, and I'll give it all to you. And you don't have to go through the trials and the tribulation and the death that God has planned for you. Use your power, Yeshua, for your own good. And Yeshua did not give in to those temptations. Every miracle that Yeshua worked was for the good of the people. Every trial and tribulation that Messiah went through was for our good. He's come to do the will of God to the utmost, even to the point of death. And it's in that, him doing the will of God, that the old sacrifices can be replaced with this perfect sacrifice, one who does perfectly the will of God. After saying above, amen, Hebrews 10, verse 8, after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the Torah, then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once for all. Once for all, Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time. Okay, it's happening, isn't it? There he goes again. He's reading, losing our attention. We got to get wrapped up in the battle. Right? You have to get wrapped up in the battle. You have to see the relevance, the life and death battle going on here. The battle of eternal consequence. Don't let these be just words. Interact with this. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. What position in verse 11 are the priests taking? They're standing. And they're busy. And they're offering. And they're running around and they're making sure this sacrifice is done. And that sacrifice is done. And the altar is cleaned. And this happens. And they fire this and this and that. But what is the Messiah doing? He's sitting down. He's sitting down at the right hand of God. What is Hebrews saying by pointing this out? They're running around. Their job's not done. It's never going to be done. They always have to offer the sacrifice. Not just the yearly one of Yom Kippur, but the daily sacrifices is just not done. Sin's not dealt with. Offer another sacrifice. It's not done with offer another sacrifice. Meanwhile, the one who offered the perfect sacrifice is doing what? He's sitting down because his work has been done. He's sitting down because his work has been done. The battle's been won until God makes his enemies a footstool for his feet. All is brought into completion. But meanwhile, the sin is done. And we have to learn that. We have to learn that sitting down because it's been done. Your mind and my mind need to be at peace and at rest. And I struggle with this. I have great guilt over some things I've done in the past sometimes. And I have to learn to accept the perfect sacrifice that has been done. Instead of running around trying to prove that I'm worth something because I do this, and trying to prove that I'm worth something because I do that, and run like those priests offering those sacrifices that just never quite cleanse the conscience. It just becomes more and more a reminder of what really is bugging us. But in Messiah is the forgiveness and the forgetfulness of sin. Instead of reminding us, like the sacrifices do, he cleans the conscience, as it says in Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. He cleanses the conscience. We have got to let that battle take place in our minds, that the victory has been won, that we have been cleansed, we have been forgiven, we can be at peace with God. That sitting position, that resting position, it's okay. Yeah, you messed up, but Messiah is taking care of it. Messiah has taken care of it, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. It happened once, it's done, you are clean, you are forgiven. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them." He then says, "And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. There's nothing else we can do, right? There's no need for running around, trying to make ourselves feel worthwhile, okay? It's been done. One perfect sacrifice, once for all, the battle's been done. Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of the Messiah. Lord, we rejoice in the forgiveness of Messiah that you brought in through Yeshua. You brought in the perfect covenant. You brought in the perfect sacrifice, through the perfect sanctuary,
through the perfect high priest. And it was done. It was just done. And we need to learn to breathe deep. And we need to understand the battle's been won. You've crossed that breach between us for our sake and brought us into your presence. You've made us perfect. You've perfected us through the sacrifice of the Messiah that we can be in your presence. And so, Lord, teach us that sitting position. Teach us that resting position. And we can just be at peace in your presence. And we don't have to run about like those priests, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice that can never take away sin, Scripture teaches us. But the one sacrifice that really did take away sin and cleanses the conscience has been done once for all. And in this we rest, and in this we rejoice. In Yeshua's name we all say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's...